Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
This is how we do it.
A scary situation awaits Cleveland on Friday.
Alley-oop Capella with the left hand.
Mobley a spin. Oh, quick bounce by Mobley.
It's going to be a tough game. It's when I go home, so for both teams.
We got to take it one game at a time and take care of business in Cleveland.
This is how we do it.
One game to win, to get into the playoffs, and like I said, we'll be ready to go on Friday.
This Clipper team reached the Western Conference Finals a season ago.
And the C.J. McCollum show has begun in earnest.
You know, the city is starting to be excited about basketball, as they should. There's a lot of talent here. We're hungry. We're playing the game the right way. And there's going to be a lot of winning in our future.
It is Friday night. Well, it's Friday afternoon, but I feel all right. Two playoff spots, they are on the line. The Hawks versus the Cavs, the Pelicans versus the Clippers. But about 2 hours and 45 minutes before our show, Woj dropped some big news, and here's the reporting from Woj and Tim Bontemps. Clippers star Paul George will miss tonight's play-in game against New Orleans after entering COVID protocols. So not lucky for Paul George, but lucky for us. Senior writer Adrian Wojnarowski is here on set, our senior insider, along with Vince Carter, Chinea Gumake, Kendrick Perkins. I'm Malika Andrews, and this is NBA Today. So Woj, since you're here, what more can you tell us about Paul George and this situation?
Yeah, Paul George out tonight, obviously, against New Orleans. He started to feel symptoms yesterday. Mm. And when he came in today, he tested positive for COVID. And that's kind of where we are in the testing process now. They're not testing randomly in the league. But if you have symptoms, you'll get tested. And right now, I'm told there are no other players on the Clippers who are experiencing any symptoms. So they don't have to test today. And the expectation is the rest of this Clipper team will be available now against New Orleans tonight. And this is a Clipper team. Listen, for Ty Lue, they have an identity of playing without Paul George. They played a lot of games. They've won games without Paul George. They're going to have to win at least one more tonight to get into the postseason.
Absolutely. And Paul George, we know he came back on March 29th. He returned to the lineup. L.A. finished the regular season 6-1 and had the best offense in the NBA. So make no mistake, this is a huge loss for the Clippers, even if they do know how to win without him. So, Perk, where's L.A. going to feel this absence the most?
Well, I think, you know, you can't replace a guy like Paul George, obviously, but you could get it done collectively. And like Woj said, they're used to playing without him. They have identity, and they have one of the best coaches in basketball in Ty Lue. He's going to make adjustments. So I'm looking at Reggie Hot Sauce Jackson, guess that's his nickname in the locker room, to up his game. I'm looking at Marcus Morris to up his game. Norman Powell, we know he's capable of going for 20 to 25 in the night. Big Zubac down there anchoring in the middle doing his thing. And let me remind you, Trey Mann has shown us that he's not afraid of the moment. We watched him last year in the postseason. He elevated his game. So I'm saying it's 50-50. Look, I got the Pelicans people all in my mentions. I
didn't They've been all year
and
all long,
that. And I'm perfectly okay with it, because you know what? I ain't going nowhere.
Okay, so is he like a Tapatio type of hot sauce, or what are we talking here?
I mean, I don't get into all of the logistics. I just know they call him Reggie Hot Sauce.
The hottest of sauces. So you said that you're not even going to touch this one with the Pelicans because we know what your mentions have been looking like.
Goodness.
Are you taking the Pelicans without Paul George?
Oh, I'm taking the Clippers. Okay. I'm not backing down.
Okay,
I'm taking the Clippers.
Okay, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm with the Clippers, and the reason I'm with the Clippers is because of that guy, Ty Lue. Yeah, I mean, Ty Lue has proven that he can find ways with what he has, and that's the thing. You just can't count them out. Yes, Paul George, who's been playing great basketball, is not there, but they can find a way, and they've been playing pretty good basketball without him.
You know, it's interesting because I always love going for veterans, right? And you think about the Clippers, they're consummate professionals. I have a feeling that there's a new energy with the Pelicans. I love what CJ McCollum has really brought. He's breathed fresh life into the franchise. It's been a couple years since Stanford, y'all. But it's been fresh air into the franchise through his leadership. He's not only, you know, the president of the Players Association, but it just seems like he's a guy that everyone wants to play with. And one thing I love about CJ is he knows how to share the spotlight. Mm. He learned that with Dame. So you get buckets with CJ. B.I. looks confident. They seem happy. I think this is going to be a really competitive matchup. But I will say this. The Clippers, they're never down and out of a game. They have 25-point comebacks so far this season. So even if the Pels get a lead, the Clippers might just feel just comfortable in that
not
situation.
Safe.
5 20-point comebacks that they've had so far this season. I think that's the most in the NBA.
It is.
So nobody is safe when they're playing the Clippers. But I do think that this matchup is exactly what both organizations, even without Paul George, want. Their franchise is trending in the right direction.
With all that being said, this is not Stanford. Who are you picking?
Wow. I'm going to go. You know, I'm going to be the other. I'm picking the Pelicans.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the Pelicans.
When the Pelicans were playing the Lakers late in the regular season, I watched CJ McCollum walk out of the tunnel, and he was so fired up. I mean, to get a win in L.A., the expletives were flying. It was a group effort. Brandon Ingram has been playing fantastic basketball. But this is where Ty Lue thrives, right? This is the space that he thrives in. There's another game going down tonight, too. I mentioned it at the top of the show. The Hawks, they take on the Cavs at 7:30 Eastern right here on ESPN. And the biggest question heading into that game is the status of Cleveland's all-star center, Jared Allen. So, Woj, what is the plan for Allen tonight?
The plan is that Jared Allen's going to warm up before the game, go through his pregame preparations, go through layup line, get on the floor, with the intention that he will play, but it's ultimately going to still be a game time decision. He's been out with that fractured finger since early March, and it is still very painful, I'm told. There was still some swelling earlier this week in it, and so he wants to play, but he's got to be able to catch the ball. He's got to be able to grip the ball. I think, you know, barring something in warmups that changes, he's going to try to play tonight, and obviously for Cleveland, you know, he and Evan Mobley together, you know, this was a team, one of the best defensive teams in the league. And I think if Jared Allen stays healthy, if this was a Cleveland team that was not beset by injuries, this was a 50-win-plus regular season team.
You mentioned it. I mean, they were rolling to start the season. But after Allen was injured, you said early March, March 6th, the Cavs, they went 7-11 down the stretch. So I think that this begs for a cheat sheet, Miss Chiney. What
Let's
do you got?
Get it.
Biggest
get it.
Screen in the house.
Hey, guys, do you want to join me? Do you want to have some fun with me? You want to improvise a
me?
Little bit?
No,
come on. I got the
well.
Fellas in the building. And y'all know it's win or go home time to make the playoffs, right, Malika? And the availability of players can really determine a team's playoff fate, especially today after Woj disrupted all of our mornings. Now, in the Hawks-Cavs matchup, this game may come down to whether Jared Allen plays or not. And here's why, fellas. Here are the numbers, right? Before Allen's injury, the Cavs were one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, fourth best to be exact. Now, after the injury, they have dropped quick to 22nd. Second-ranked defense out of 30 teams, which is not good at all and not their identity. And here's why having him on the court is absolutely crucial to the Cavs. So y'all want to say it with me? Roll me my tape, producer.
Waku, baby.
Waku, baby.
Roll the tape.
Okay, look at the defense here. Watch his eyes on the ball. What do you guys see here? I mean, he's able to guard two players with one possession. Look at the ping pong. Look at the move. And y'all are disappearing from me, but it's all good. Still able to go 2-for-1. This man is 6'10 with a 7'5 wingspan, and that is the best case scenario for a coach. Have a player that can hold, you know, fill in the holes. Now, I want to throw in some offense here. Thank you, Kwaku, because watch his eyes again. He sees that the paint is open. This is a pick and roll with Garland, the old star. And instead, he wants to get to that open spot. So he slips really quickly with his vision, and he's a tremendous lob threat. Now, this is a very stark contrast in defense. Before you could play 2-on-1, on this side, you got a poster. And look at the extension, 11.9 feet. That is beautiful. And, oh, I'm sorry. Y'all are really petty today. Y'all are really petty today, showing how the Cavs love their identity being defense. Being a lob threat is going to be pushing pushing through a little adversity, especially for Allen, because he's still probably going to be experiencing soreness through his hand, and his presence on the other end, you know, offensively is also invaluable. But catching that ball might be a question, but he's probably going to push through that. They're going up against, honestly, this is very important, the Cavs, a man who led the entire NBA in total points and assists this season, a man by the name of Trae Young. So Jarrett Allen gives the Cavs their best shot at slowing down one of the hottest teams entering the play-in, the Atlanta Hawks. His availability is very important. And Malika, I know that Cavs fans are hoping that Jarrett Allen is all in.
Oh, tonight. I see what you did there. But who you got in this match?
Who do I have in this one? I still got the Hawks.
All right, you still got the Hawks. Well, we're gonna make more picks. You just heard him boo. We're bringing in Zach Lowe. If you're booing and you don't like that, then who's your pick, Zach?
Well, I'm booing the pun. Booing the pick. Pick is fine. I'm booing the pun. That's all. I'm going Hawks. I just think we saw what they did in the playoffs last year. They're experienced. They're ready. They're incredibly explosive. They had the number two offense in the league this year behind Utah. They can hang 130 on any game. Cleveland, it's a lot of ifs. Even with Jared Allen coming back, Woj said, we'll see in warmups. What is he going to be able to bring? Can he grip the ball? They're kind of thin. Injuries have just killed them. They're limping to the finish line. So I'm going to go Trae Young and the Hawks. Whether Allen is Allen or all in, go steal the win in Cleveland and get the eighth seed.
Oh, my God.
Cleveland, I'm going with the Cavs. Look, if we look at the history of the play-in tournament this season, all of the home teams have won the game. You know why? Because role players play better at home, and it's just like the postseason. Look, when you look at the Cavs, right, and you look at Darius Garland, the best thing that happened for him and the Cavs is that they lost to the Brooklyn Nets, because now they know how to bring that intensity, the level that they need to play at. Because, look, the Brooklyn Nets came out with a 40-point quarter, so they threw a jab, a left hook, then hit them with a straight right down the middle, and they took it. They got back up, and next thing you know, in the fourth quarter, they were in the game. So now, being back at home, now these guys could settle in, they could know what's going on, and role players play better at home.
What you got, Vince? I can't ask you this question. What am I doing? Well, we'll see.
It's simple. I think, for Jared Allen coming back, yes, he's going to have to keep Clint Capella off the glass. Trae Young's ability to get in the paint to score for himself and others. If they're making shots, they don't turn the ball over, it's extremely important for them. So playing on the road, not turning the ball over, and seeing shots go in, it's going to be a long night for Cleveland.
The Hawks, they face the Cavs at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. One more day, and the playoffs are here. So still to come on NBA Today, Steph Curry, he said he's optimistic for Game 1 Saturday against the Nuggets. But just how much can we expect Curry to play? Steve Kerr is going to weigh in. And more injury updates, this time on Luka's strained calf ahead of their first-round matchup against the Jazz this weekend. Woj is standing by. Plus, speaking of the Mavericks and the Jazz, which team is under the most pressure this postseason? Don't miss Perk's pick. Keep it locked. NBA Today is just getting started. Nobody around,
baby. Just you and I. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I love to shoot the ball. It's something I've been doing since I was, 3 years old. Everybody talks about was the greatest shooter ever.
It's Curry for the record.
I'm comfortable saying that now. And now I can push it to a number that nobody can reach.
So after
After missing the postseason for the last 2 years, Golden State, they're back in the playoffs. But the question is Steph going to be in the lineup when they tip off against the Nuggets on Sunday on ABC? Check that on Saturday on ABC. So the atmosphere in the Bay completely changes when Steph is playing, and it starts even before the game actually starts. One of the perks of having box seats or season tickets in Chase Center is that before Steph warms up, security, they go up to those top seats and they escort down fans to the court to watch Steph warm up. It's about 50 people in all, and it's grown into that much of a must-see event to the point that actually opposing arenas sometimes, they open the doors to the arenas early just so fans can see Steph. But is all that going to happen tomorrow? Here is Steve Kerr and Steph himself.
Do you think you will have a minutes restriction?
Yeah. I don't know what the number is, but he's not playing 30, 35 minutes.
All the reasons why you'll have a minutes restriction, does it still frustrate you just a little bit?
Who said that?
Your coach.
I was just playing with you. I don't know what that number is. I've heard that conversation, but we haven't talked about what it actually looks like. And we got 48 hours, hopefully, to figure it out if I get the green light on Saturday.
You know, I still have the same expectation as I did before, and that's to win a championship. Yeah, it's a different time, but nothing's ever the same. So you just got to embrace the opportunity ahead, and it's a great one.
Back here with the entire crew, Woj, Vince, Perk, and Shanae. So Woj, both Steve Kerr and Steph Curry, they said they were optimistic yesterday that he was going to be able to return tomorrow versus the Nuggets on ABC. But what are you hearing?
Well, Steve Kerr just told reporters at the Warriors facility that Steph Kerr's probable tomorrow, which means he's going to play. But the question is, how many minutes is that? And I'm talking to some Warriors people this morning. That's still a conversation they're having about what that's going to look like. I think Steve Kerr just said, listen, it's not going to be 38 minutes, but what is that number tomorrow in a game one for Steph Curry?
Well, the first game is tomorrow. And also tomorrow is the Jazz at the Mavs, 1 Eastern on ESPN. About 25 minutes before our show, you tweeted that Doncic will be out game one. So what more can you tell us?
Yeah, out game one tomorrow, and a lot of concern about whether he can play on Monday in a game two. You know, this calf strain, I'm told, this is more than just a mild calf strain. If this was the regular season, you would be talking about 10, 12 days for an injury like this. They're trying to obviously condense that timeline here in the playoffs, but I'm told the Mavs know they've got to take the long view with this, and they know this. If you bring a player back from a calf strain too soon, yeah, some high-level players here at the desk who certainly would agree with this. You run the risk of, you know, severely re-injuring that calf. Or something else. And so I think they're going to be really careful. Listen, I think ideally they can get a split here against Utah at home, win a game, and maybe take the pressure off. Listen, a perfect scenario is a game one win and take the pressure off. They're 8-9 this season without Luka Doncic, but you may be waiting until sometime next week, perhaps even game three, before you're really seriously considering Doncic returning. But they say they're going to take it day by day after game one, revisit it on Monday. That may still be too soon for him.
Calf strains can be so tricky. Strains, as we know, can be tricky. And yesterday, Vince, I asked you, what advice would you give your former teammate Jason Kidd in handling all of this? But as you look at this and as you hear what Woj is reporting, how concerning is this for you?
I mean, it's definitely concerning, but you have to be smart because this is your franchise player. He brings a lot to the table. He makes the game easier for his players. But what do you do now? Well, you tell your guys, play within your role still. And you play through Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson can handle the offense, and it's important for him to do so. And then, of course, when you need some scoring, who do you go to? Spencer Dinwiddie. He has to be special. You know, you need him to be special in attack mode from start to finish. Everybody must play within themselves. Don't do too much. You don't want anybody to feel like they need to be Luka Doncic. You need to be yourself, and good thing is happening. You know, 8-9, that's a pretty solid record that can get you one win, like you said.
And it's about if it's going to be one, if it's going to be two, or are we looking toward game three? Woj, thank you so much for joining us here on NBA Today. I have my notifications turned on.
Done?
So,
well,
yeah, if there's more news, you're going to be coming back. Really appreciate the time today. I do want to bring in the full panel here to talk about pressure, though, because it creates diamonds. It also bursts pipes. So which team is under the most pressure this postseason? Zach Lowe, I want to start with you.
We just talked about them. The Utah Jazz, we've been talking about them all year since before the season. It was clear that they faced maybe the highest stakes of anyone in the league given the kind of uncertain future there after all the playoff difficulties they've had. They finished the season 23-24 in their last 47 games. They blew a bunch of fourth quarter leads. Then their head coach came out and had a big monologue about how, oh, well, it's not that big a deal that we blew all these fourth quarter leads. And then they blew another fourth quarter lead against Phoenix. So it's been a pretty bad few months for the Jazz. When we talk about must-win games, with Luka Doncic out game one and what Woj just said about the seriousness of that calf strain going forward, this is a must-win series for Utah. Dallas is a completely different team, whether Luka Doncic is out or limited. It's a completely different team. If you want to be a serious contender in the Western Conference, a team that had the best record in the league last year, the best offense of the league this year, if you want to go places with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert as your two foundational players, beat the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic out or compromised, period.
It feels like this is a prove-it year for the Utah Jazz, and if they can't prove it, then I don't know. I don't know if the moving trucks are going to show up or what. Big Perk, what do you think?
You know what? When I think of pressure, I think of expectations. And what are the Utah Jazz expectations realistically in the West is not to come out of it. It's the Phoenix Suns. Mm. And so when I look at the Suns, we're looking at an aging Chris Paul. We're looking at a team that represented the West last year that had a 2-0 lead and blew four straight and lost. And then bounced back, came back this season and had the best record in the league, obviously looking like the best team in the league. And they should be on the mission. They have home court throughout the playoffs, so they have zero excuses for not being able to close out game sevens if it comes down to it. But I look at this Phoenix Suns team and I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is their opportunity right now. So I think if I had to pick a team, they're the team that's under the most pressure in these playoffs.
Big Perk, I absolutely agree with you, but I would like to share the floor because when it comes to expectations, it's a lot about players, and there's a lot of pressure on James Harden, and now that has spread through Philly and the 76ers. You have a season where my MVP, after watching all the games, is Joel Embiid. You're maximizing on his health and his availability. You go and you put, what is it? You guys gamble, probably. You put all the chips. You put all the chips and get James Harden. And there hasn't been much evidence outside of maybe a few games here or there where he drops 20 and has a triple-double and they win that you're like, all right, this is a team that they constructed after the deadline to win a championship because that was the goal, that this potentially could be the best duo in basketball currently. But we have not seen that yet. And then I think when we talk about pressure from team to like James, it's like, all right, what's the legacy factor here? Performing in the postseason alongside the best post player that you have ever played with. That's happening right now. So I think a lot of people are looking at Phoenix for the championship, but also the players and the potential dark horse championship pedigree that can happen in Philly as well.
Ooh, all right, that was a whole sermon.
And Shanae, I'm right there with you. I think the 76ers right now have the pressure and because of all of the things that went on prior to it. Mm. You know, when are you going to move Ben Simmons? Whatever. James Harden won now. Now, you made it happen. Then it was the honeymoon stage, and everybody's like, ooh, the Sixers are for real. The honeymoon is over now. Now it's time to ball and show that you put this team together and go get it. They put this team together. They put James Harden in a situation to win, to make it to the championship, or at least the Eastern Conference Finals. They're going to have to prove it because Toronto's going to be a tough out.
Vince, are you saying it's back to life, back to reality?
Well, we're not done talking about the Suns here on NBA Today because still ahead, are the Suns, are they in a tier of their own? Vegas sure thinks so. So we're going to dive into who could give the Suns a run for their money. And get your popcorn ready. It is Kevin Durant versus Jason Tatum.
Okay,
Vince, on why this
it may better guard each other.
It may be one for the ages. Plus, our panel gives their early NBA Finals picks. Who will win Finals MVP? Wait until you hear what our folks have to say. NBA Today rolls on after this.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NBA Today, and we are just one day away from the official start of the NBA playoffs. So let's take a look at the favorites to win it all, and we're going to start with the 64-win Suns at plus 260. Next is the team who beat them in the finals last season, the Bucks, at plus 475, followed by the Warriors, the Celtics, and the Nets. So this segment, it's dedicated to our researcher extraordinaire and Suns superfan, Michael Schwartz. Chinee, I know Schwartz helps you out all the time.
Yes.
And we know that the odds makers, they say that Phoenix is the favorite to win a championship. That's the odds makers.
Okay.
I am much more interested in what a two-time WNBA All-Star has to say about this. What do you think?
Men lie, women never lie, and numbers never lie as well.
Boom.
Okay, period, Pooh. I would just say, you know, the numbers that I love to support the Phoenix Suns right now, they're 47-0 after leading after three quarters. That's a good postseason stat. 78% win percentage on the road. That's better than all teams home record when it comes to playing on the road. So the Suns, they've done their job through the regular season. They've improved. They have star players. They have veterans. They are clutch favorites. Period. That's it.
But you know what all the stars say. They say it doesn't matter unless you can prove it in the postseason.
Very true. They haven't done it yet, but this might be the year.
Well, they start their championship run on Sunday night when they host the winner of Pelicans and Clippers. But the two seed in the West, thank you, Miss Chinee, the Grizzlies, they open up and they host the Timberwolves tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN. I couldn't be more excited to see Ant-Man and Ja go head-to-head for hopefully seven games. Perk, I know you feel the same way, but you know who else feels the same way? Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, you do?
I think this is good for the NBA. I think they're getting to see two of the most exciting players in the league, and Ja Morant and Anthony Edwards play against each other. They're getting to see two teams who could be those next IT teams, the next dynasty teams you're seeing, and the dynasty organizations that are on the rise, and also at the same time, slap in the face to all the media who said small market teams couldn't get it done. So we'll go out there and make the ratings, and we'll make the show happen.
Hey. Wow!
You know what? Listen. I was all in and for the Patrick Beverley and the Minnesota Timberwolves celebrate, but Karl Anthony Towns need to relax for a moment. First of all, a dynasty, I thought, is when you win championships, multiple championships, maybe, you know, 3 out of 4 years or something to that nature. First of all, Karl Anthony Towns, humble yourselves, right? You're in the first round of the playoffs. You hadn't been there in years, okay? Just embrace that moment and not talk about the future or what's going to come, because the fact of the matter is even in the play-in tournament, you were nowhere to be found, young fella.
Well, and he said that he knows that he has to be better, but I agree. I think in order to be a dynasty, first you have to win one, and then when you can kind of start looking at maybe the next one.
Oh, man, pump your brakes a little bit.
I kind of like the swag, though, Big Perk. I know you appreciate some swag.
Yeah, but not that type.
I appreciate you, though. I know, though, you don't like to crunch a lot of numbers, but the people who do crunch a lot of numbers, they love your former team, the Celtics. They have a 40% chance to win the title, according to BPI, and a 44% chance, according to 538's ELO forecast. Those odds are about twice as high as any other team. So, Zach Lowe, you do crunch numbers. Do you agree with the other smart people that say the Celtics should win it all? And I count Perk in that, actually.
I think those numbers are a little high. I get what they're seeing. I mean, for 40 games, the Celtics were the best team in the NBA, playing like the best teams in the history of the NBA. But for them to be sizable favorites in the odds over the Bucks and the Suns strikes me as a little much, especially with Robert Williams injured for at least a little bit here and staring at the gauntlet of Brooklyn, Milwaukee, just to get to the conference finals. But look, I think the Celtics are right there with those two teams. They proved it over a long period of time. They have the best defense in the league. It hasn't been close for a while. Jason Tatum is on another level. They know their rotation. They know how to play. No one has been able to solve them since they flipped their season. And we'll just see how the Nets tackle it coming up.
Well, you mentioned it, though. This is going to be a little bit tough because first we're going to see the Bucks play the Bulls. The expectation, right, is that the Bucks are going to win that series. The Nets and Celtics, though, their series could drag on for a while, and then they have to face a well-rested Bucks team. I'm not so sure about that, oddsmaker. Zach, thank you so much. I want a little bit more on the Celtics and the Nets here, though, so let's get it over to Vin Sanity on the court.
All right, we're going to talk about KD, Kevin Durant. Some call him Easy Money Sniper and his ability to score at all three levels. So right now, let's roll the tape. Kevin's ability to score in the post at all three levels, you see here, we know he's good at getting left hesitation, but he sees the rim. So when he attacks the rim, guess what everybody does? They watch him.
Get
now, his ability to score, right, his ability to score at mid-range. And we've known Kevin Durant typically going left for the pull-up, but he sees a double team. You're not tall enough. Look at that. His ability just to shoot over anyone.
God bless America.
Buckets. Yeah. And then Kevin's ability to shoot the three-point shot. He's 7 feet, 6'11", which he likes to be. I mean, catch and shoot.
Enemy territory.
Easy.
Make sure his foot behind the line.
He's making sure this time that foot was behind the line. So now here's a demonstration. We're going to show his ability to score on all three levels. You know, sometimes he gets the post up by getting the switch that he wants in pick and roll, then his mid-range, and of course his pull-up three. So
where are we starting?
We're going to do side pick and roll. You're Kyrie. Guarding me.
Okay.
So we're going to imaginary. Like old days?
Yeah, like old days.
So Kyrie,
you know what that means? That means it's barbecue chicken right now.
What you said. So KD's ability to get to set the good screen, create the switch, which he wants, and then he gets that post up, and we know when he's 7 feet, okay, cool. He sees what he wants, but he's so good at what he does. Boom,
ooh,
to that step back.
Oh.
And then we got another one when the ball comes back. Now KD's ability to score mid-range when he sees a matchup that he wants. We always know Kevin Durant to get to his left to pull up. But now we're seeing KD go to the right.
Give me that.
I still got it. And of course, lastly.
Come on now.
It's his moment.
And then in transition, we know when he gets to what he wants to the pull-up three.
Yeah, that.
He's money.
Oh!
It's over.
Where's your defense, bro?
Hey, man, look, you said this is a demo.
Yeah. But I'll say this. Tell me, but you guys, what do you see with KD and his ability? Because this is a big-time matchup, and he's going to see Jaylen Brown as well as Tatum and Smart. But what you see with KD?
So KD attracts so much attention that usually the baselines are his spots, right? You can see him get here like we saw on the VO and shoot right here. It's crazy because now defenses, when they set, especially at the top of the key, he's realizing his best option to stay open is with spacing and right here. And that's exactly what you said, getting to this right elbow, shooting, getting to this left elbow, shooting, because once you get into the pick and roll, that's when the defense really hankers down on you. So watch him bring the ball up because that's largely the best point he has for isolation now as he's dealing with adjustments.
Well, and we can see all of that in action this weekend.
Okay,
I cannot wait. The Nets and the Celtics, it is going down at 3:30 Eastern on Sunday, 12:30 Pacific. That is a game I cannot wait for. Coming up on NBA Today, much more on the story of the day. Paul George is unable to play in the final game of the play-in tournament. The impact of his status when we return.
We're getting buckets to break, baby.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We know we still have work to do.
Devontae Graham walks it off.
You've learned how to be a solid team.
Confidence to pull that off in the game.
He's got the total package.
That's just a big-time shot by a big-time player.
Hey, this is the start of something special for sure. You can see the energy, feel the energy.
The final games of the play-in tournament tonight. Recapping the top story of the day, though, Paul George has entered the league's health and safety protocols and will miss tonight's play-in game against the Pelicans. In his absence, it'll be a huge blow to the Clippers' hopes of making the playoffs. Before the news of George missing this game, the Clippers, they were favored by 4 points. That's according to Caesar Sportsbook. This line is now a pick'em with George out for this elimination game. The Clippers are plenty used to playing without George's season as he missed 51 games and LA went a respectable 24-27 in that stretch. So joined again by senior writer Zach Lowe. So Zach, we know that Paul George is going to be missing this game, and Adrian Wojnarowski also reported that Luka Doncic is going to be out for at least game one between the Jazz and the Mavs. How much of a concern is this for you, and what is the bigger concern?
Obviously, they're both big concerns, and you just have to hope that Paul George's case doesn't portend anything wider in the NBA because COVID never went away and people are going to get symptoms and all of that. But in terms of which is bigger for playoff implications, I still think it's Luka just because that at least one game kind of scares me. And let's be honest, the Clippers, they're playing one game for the eighth seed. They'd be massive, massive underdogs against the Suns, even with Paul George at full health. The Mavs would have a chance, would probably be favored. I'd probably pick them to beat Utah in the first round if they had Luka. Sure. And then after that, hey, who knows? You get into the second round, you've done some damage. So I think the Luka one is kind of a bigger deal just in terms of playoff implications.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said about it's not necessarily just game one or potentially just game two. It's about how long this could extend, because as we heard Woj say, if this was the regular season, we wouldn't even be talking about whether or not Luka Doncic could play. He would be resting for a little bit because we know that these strains are tricky. Zach Lowe, thank you so much. I appreciate you, my friend. Still ahead on NBA Today, what every Jazz win is doing to help high school students in Utah achieve their college dreams. More NBA Today is next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Live from Los Angeles, welcome back to NBA Today.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So teams are measured in wins and losses, and each franchise knows how much hard work and sweat goes into that. But what if one team's victory meant more than just another tally in the win column? For some high school students, every Utah Jazz triumph, it can change their futures. Andscape's Mark Spears has more.
What if every Donovan Mitchell three-pointer?
He nailed it! Oh, my goodness!
Mike Conley assist or Rudy Gobert dunk did more than just notch another Jazz win. What if these plays could help change a life?
So happy for you. So very happy for you.
I'd like to give you this basketball and acknowledge your new stewardship.
After Ryan and Ashley Smith bought the Utah Jazz in late 2020, they looked towards making an impact in the community.
Right when we took over, one of the very first things we did, you know, based on the community conversation, was like, what is it that we want to stand for?
I come from a family of educators, and everything is about education and youth. And to me, it was a no-brainer. We want to give voices to people who maybe don't get the opportunities that we got.
We came back to education a lot. We came up with a scholarship idea.
In March 2021, the Utah Jazz Scholars Program was born.
Utah has won 8 of its last 9.
For every Jazz win, preseason, regular, and post, 4-year scholarship, including room, board, and books, is awarded to a Utah high school student. The rigorous screening process identifies candidates of need who are underrepresented and plan on attending one of 7 Utah universities.
Mike Conley from the Utah Jazz. I wanted to congratulate you on being selected for the Utah Jazz scholarship.
You're joking.
No, you're joking.
Yeah, no cap.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome.
Tonight, we welcome the first class of 30 Utah Jazz scholarship recipients on the court.
In 2 seasons since the program launched, there have been more than 100 scholarships awarded.
Anything one of the parents said to you that made an impact?
I had one mom come up to me just in tears, just saying, thank you. She said, you're changing the path of all of our future generations. And it's close to my heart. to think of the future in their hands.
So have a seat.
On this day, the Jazz brought a select group of scholarship recipients to their practice facility
but each student was told that they were doing one final interview for their submission. Little did they know, they'd get life-changing news.
I go by Abdi Oraki for short, and this is my story.
So I come from a refugee family and an immigrant background. Life in Ethiopia, where I was living, wasn't always easy, and education wasn't available to us.
What's up, man?
Yo! No! No! What?
You good? You've been selected for a 4-year scholarship.
No way, bro.
Full scholarship, full tuition.
Bro, this means so much to me, man. Shout out to my parents. I made this for you guys. This is for you.
My mom, she's been the person who has stuck by me through my whole life.
Both of my parents are from Mexico, so I grew up in like two cultures. It has really inspired me to like make a change in my community, which is partly why I want to go into the medical field so I can offer services to those who don't have it or can't afford it. My mom, yeah, she's done a lot for me. Every day I try to make her proud, so sorry.
What's up? How are you?
Good.
I'm really. You got selected for a 4-year full scholarship. You can keep making your mom proud. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Can I give you a...
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Sophomore year was really when I realized that I wanted to go into statistics and computer science.
I'm here to let you know that you have received the Utah Jazz Scholarship.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm so serious.
Oh,
just want to say congratulations. I'm going to give you a hug. Congratulations, your hard work.
I was talking to my mom recently about how I was going to figure out paying for college, and she's like, I'll get a second job, your dad will get a second job, we'll do whatever we have to.
Hi, is this mom?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz here with your daughter Jordan.
Yes.
I just told her some exciting news, so I'm gonna give her the phone.
Okay.
Mom, I got the scholarship.
Oh, Jordan, are you kidding? Oh my gosh, sweetie, I'm so proud of you.
You did it.
She did it. Hey, Mom, she did it. She put in the work and she did it.
I will take a lot of pride in making the Jazz proud that they chose me, and I want to live up to what this scholarship is for.
That's so awesome, and what a great piece from Mark Spears. And you can see the Jazz tip off on ESPN and ABC's quadruple header tomorrow versus the Lucas Mavs, 1 Eastern, followed by the T-Wolves, Grizzlies, Raptors 76ers, and Nuggets Golden State. We got to get Perk on the sidelines for one of these games. We're back in 60 seconds. Coming up on NBA Today, we make some early picks on who wins the title and Finals MVP. More NBA Today in just 1 minute.
Shooting for the stars, aiming for the moon. I shoot at any up, cause you know I woo. Send that to the medic. Everything raw, no edit.
The first day of school feeling, and I don't know our opponent is yet, and I'm just ready to get to it.
Bring the necessary energy and effort and competitiveness and meet the moment.
Everybody understands that role, that's how we don't win.
Just trust your instincts, go out there, have fun. That's about it.
It's really going to be a physical series, and who wants it the most?
It's when I go home, so play with a fierceness.
Pressure, no. So good. Ready to hoop.
I'm so excited. The playoffs get underway tomorrow. Let's take a look at the favorites to win Finals MVP. Three players who competed in last year's finals lead the way. Devin Booker at plus 550, followed by Giannis at plus 600, and CP3 at plus 700. They're followed by Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. Did y'all see Mike Greenberg's pick?
He said Mikal Bridges.
I love Mikal Bridges, and I love Mike Greenberg, but yeah, bless your heart. The playoffs officially tip off on Saturday, so we have to get some predictions in. Zach, I'm going to start with you. Title, Finals MVP, who are they going to be?
I'm going Bucks over the Suns. I'm really tempted to go Bucks over Warriors. I got to see a little more Warriors first. So I'm going Bucks, Suns, Giannis repeats his Finals MVP.
We're going back to back. Who you got, Perk?
I'm going with Giannis. Look, he done made me a believer. He's a closer. He's the most dominant player in the NBA. They're healthy. They have their big three returning and Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. And guess who they're going to beat in the finals? The Memphis Grizzlies, because they're coming out of the
West. He is riding the dark side all the way home. Chinee, who you got?
I actually made a pick, you guys.
I'm so proud of you.
And I'm going with the Phoenix Suns. I feel like this is one of the most complete seasons we've seen from a team, very similar to what we saw in the Bucks getting them to their title. Well, now you have the Suns. They position themselves perfectly. I think they'll be rested. And the most important thing here, home court advantage through the entirety, plus all the feelings and emotions that took you over after you lost to Giannis. I think that is exactly what's going to motivate them. And I heard the Valley goes crazy.
Oh, it goes
crazy.
Nuts. This is the type that make the Valley go crazy.
Oh, wait, and I forgot to give you my actual pick. Devin Booker, Finals MVP.
I like it. See, that's the thing. I'm not meaning to make fun of Mikhail or
None of
Greeny,
us are, no.
But what I'm saying is that given that Chris Paul and Devin Booker are on this team
and
with
DeAndre
all the expectations
Ayton.
And knowing how that people tend to vote, I get it. It's the Andre Iguodala type of pick, the guy that who could make. But the difference is where that change happened in the season. Vince, are you rocking with Greeny or you go in a different direction?
Who'd you pick?
I picked the Bucks.
And who's the MVP?
Giannis.
There you go.
Cunningham, thank you, ma'am.
They look good. I mean, I got a chance to watch them play against the Bulls, and they are focused. They are locked in. And getting Brooke Lopez back, it just sealed the deal for me.
Well, Zach, what's the biggest question mark that Giannis answered for you last year? Because three of these four folks, no, everybody. Oh, no, not Chinee.
Your girl.
Sorry, just Chinee. Three of these four fine folks, they all picked Giannis, including yourself, to win Finals MVP again.
Number one, the league is out of guys who can stop him from getting to the rim. There used to be four or five guys who, they are kind of a problem for Giannis, or the wall is a problem for Giannis.
Right.
Nothing's a problem for Giannis anymore. Number two, ever since that clinching game against Phoenix, he can shoot free throws now. And if that's real, forget about it. There's nothing. All you're hoping is the rest of the Bucks miss shots.
You know, I'm actually more so, you know, Giannis and the Suns are like, well, the Bucks and the Suns, but it's like Giannis and the Suns. They're neck and neck for
me. I don't know.
I think this is a lot of wishful thinking just because, you know, when it comes to Phoenix, Chris Paul, I mean, about to turn, I believe, 37 years old, 9-time All-NBA or 10-time All-NBA. This is his shot to get it done. And I think we will see if he's able to remain healthy. I think we'll see the best version of the Suns based on his sheer willpower, and he's made everyone better. So it's going to be fun and interesting.
Well, I mean, look, that's all great picks, and I feel like we all could be right, and some of us may be wrong, but right. 90% of the time I'm right. But look,
whoa, run the numbers.
The show has been great. You know, we're supposed to be on here talking, but meantime, in between breaks, you know what's going on?
What was going on?
Oh God. Music. We were debating
we were wobbling.
Do you wobble to the right or the left? It's that's
get in
the
there.
Have a
get
good weekend,
there.
Everybody.
Get in there.